Welcome to The Other Side of 40. My name is April Grant, and I'm here to help women make positive changes with their lives after the age of 40. Let The Other Side of 40 become your community to find inspiration and support to start the next chapter of your life. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Other Side of 40. Today, I have Tessie Watts. And Tessie Watts is a transformational leader and speaker who believes in the power of whole vision leadership. Since 2011, she has been on a divine journey to elevate the quality of leadership by empowering leaders to remove the restraints on their leadership and business potential. As a CEO and principal leadership strategist of the Leadership Haven Resource Center, LLC, she is committed to turning leaders into positive change agents they are called to be. And she does this through monthly Leadergize sessions and power-packed leadership and business development workshops. She is also the visionary behind the Reignite Florida Leadership Summit that brings hundreds of leaders together under one roof for a full day of leadership and business development. Tessie's goal is to reach and empower as many leaders as possible, believing there is no leader alive that cannot benefit from her no-holds-barred training style that promotes transparency, truth, and self-awareness. Tessie's personal mantra is, there's no need for human co-signers on what was divinely given. She is thankful for every opportunity to co-power others and to share her life's mission on how fulfilling life can be when you are intentional at leading on purpose. Woo! That was a whole mouthful, and I didn't stumble a lot, so I'm very proud of myself.
No, good job.
Oh man, when you get out of, you know, public reading, which is different than public speaking, It's definitely something that you have to get used to. And so, you know, I try to practice a couple times before I go live. But anyway, let's get started. What is your awakening moment? Tell us about it.
Okay. So thank you, April. First, let me say thank you. I'm so excited to be here. This is, it's my first podcast. I think I've done some in the past, but it was the same way, video and podcast. So I'm excited. I'm excited for you because this is great. I love all the segments that I've heard so far. So let's see, just like a lot of your other speakers that you had on, many of them talked about having multiple awakening moments. Mm-hmm. And for me, I will say that it basically, my awakening moment is directly connected to this person that I am. And I am a planner by nature. I plan everything out. And I say it was around the age of 40 that I realized that there was a much bigger plan in motion, much bigger than I could even imagine. And I had to learn around that time to just ride the wave because I was going against it. I was not riding the wave. And because again, my very nature says that you are to plan. And I literally planned my life. I would say I was probably maybe 15 or so. I planned like the next 50 years of my life. I mean, I planned it out to the letter. I knew exactly where I wanted to live. I basically just wanted that Black American dream. You know, I wanted the dream job. I wanted the dream home. I wanted the doting husband. I wanted the two kids. I wanted the money in the bank, and I wanted good health. I mean, I wanted all of that. Right. And it was not soon after that, you know, that I realized that plans can be altered. Because what I learned by the age of 40, by the time I turned 40 and I purchased my first home, I think it was just a few months shy of turning 40, but I learned that not much went as planned. And the story up to that point had not gone the way that I had anticipated. And I didn't have a plan B. I was strictly plan A, 100%, stick with it. So by the time I turned 40, I had two divorces under my belt. I lost my dream home by the age of 45. I was unemployed and underemployed for several years in my 40s. I had no credit or bad credit, and I had no savings, which means that I had to look at possibly unemployment compensation and even food stamps. And that did not speak well to a college-educated individual. I did not understand any of that, and I couldn't understand the direction that I was going in. But the awakening came on the other side of all those misses, on the other side of all those messes. That's where the awakening came in, because God was so faithful during that time. I have a beautiful daughter. She's 26 years old and right now, and we have an amazing relationship. So no, I didn't get the two kids, but I got the one kid, and she is stellar. I mean, I tell people all the time, like, it gets better with time. Like when you're bringing your kids up, it gets better with time. She's so amazing. But again, like I said, I learned that God was faithful. I learned that his plan was far better than anything that I could have ever planned. And one of the things that it showed me was that all of my planning had nothing to do with showing who I really was. Mm-hmm. And it had nothing to do with showing how resilient I was, how I could endure, how my perception of what a perfect life was. It didn't have anything to do with showing who I really was as an individual. And so what I did was just learn to ride the wave. I learned to ride the wave and say, you know what? Things didn't go as planned. I may not have that dream home, but you gave me a much better home later on. You know, the marriages, yes, they broke up again. But again, if I look back on it, they were probably relationships I never should have been in the first place. And so I didn't want to own up to that, but I had to, because again, it was about showing me who I was, the type of person that I was, just how I can really endure. And now, so here I am at 52 years old. I wake up every morning and I say, so what are we up to today, God? That's just what I say. It's no longer get your agenda out because it start planning. I'm like, what are we up to today, God? Yeah. What are we up to? What are we going to do? I'm not on this journey by myself. And as I started to work with leaders, it was about letting them know that you're not in this alone. As leaders, people see you here, they see mm-hmm. you at the top, but yet they don't realize that up there is pretty lonely up at the top. It really is. But you're not in this alone. And that's why I developed the Leadership Haven Resource Center, because I wanted to have a safe haven, a safe place where leaders can go to and they can, expose all of this stuff that I just exposed about my life, about what I went through. And they can expose and they can do it in a safe environment and where it's judgment-free and where we can really grow together, because we're not in this journey alone. So that's my awakening moment. Yeah,
yeah. No, I was just laughing and smiling because that was so me. I was a planner. I planned everything. I was going to go to law school and I was either going to focus. Well, I went to law school, but I was either going to focus on corporate or international law. I wanted to mm-hmm. travel the world. I was going to spend from my 20s to my 30s traveling, going around the world, visiting different countries. I was going to learn all these languages, and I got pregnant in law school. And I realized that for my life, the way I grew up, I didn't want to give that to my son. I wanted to give him a stable place. I wanted to stay focused and stay together and not be a workaholic. Right. My mom used to work a lot. I didn't want to be a workaholic. So I changed from even going down the lawyer path, because I didn't pass the bar the first time I took it. But I needed to feed him. So I needed to go to work, and the work that I was getting was good, but many, 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 many hours. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that. And so, we lost our second son. Our second son passed away. But when we started talking about having more kids, that was the first thing. I was like, gotta be home, gotta be focused, gotta, be able to give her my all, I know she's a she now, but give the baby my all. And it's been super hard for me to adjust to not plan. I mean, yes. still yes. still, this is 17 years later, and I still focus. Like, I sit down and I write out all these goals and all these plans and how to do it. And then I get to the end of the day and I didn't accomplish things. And then I beat myself up and I tell myself I can't, you know, what am I doing? But thankfully, kind of early in the summer, I end up taking this course where you actually have to track what you're doing.
Right.
But you have to track not just the work stuff, but the other stuff too. So like how much time I was spending with the kids, how much time I was spending cleaning, how much time I was spending even watching TV. Because once I did that, I actually tracked and saw how much I could actually accomplish in a day, what was reasonable. Because especially dealing with the kids being home virtual learning, you got to deal with them. So, you know, you could say you have a bunch of things to do, but if you got to stop because they're not paying attention in class, then you got to stop your work.
Right.
So I'm still adjusting to that. So
And it is an adjustment. And that's why I said I'm a planner by nature. It comes so easy for me to just plan out an event. I used to do weddings and parties, and it's so easy for me to do those types of things. But again, just understanding that there's something so much bigger in the works. But what's in the works is to bring us to an awareness of who we are and what's inside of us. Because if we, the way we planned, it was supposed to be smooth sailing, you know, like nothing should have gone wrong. Everything should have been perfect. You would have passed the bar the first time around. I would have went to law school the first time around. That was the plan, was that I was going to be a lawyer as well. And none of that happened. And I definitely never saw myself getting a divorce, you know, and let alone two divorces, but it still happened. But I'm thankful for every one of the obstacles, every one of the issues, because again, I would have never known how resilient I was. I would have never known how to persevere. I would have never known how to adjust and realign myself. So I learned a lot about me, who I am. And one of the things that's important is that we understand that leadership is self-awareness, and that we have to start with us before we start any other place. We have to intrinsically take care of who we are and own up to our own stuff and what's going on with us first before we can impact anything externally. Even our kids, even the ones we're like, you know, those are babies. You know, we just feel like we know what we're doing. We feel like that. But in reality, we have to just take a step back and say, you know what, this might be a little bigger than me. I may have to bring in some help, or I may have to adjust some things, but be okay with doing that. I always tell people, we're adults, make the decision and live with it. You know, I have a hard time with people who struggle a lot with their decisions and so forth, as if someone is judging them. And I stop and I say, aren't you an adult? You know, like, make the decision.
Just and do it.
COVID.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. So part of what you were talking, what you sent over for in prep was something about survival mode.
Yes.
And how much we operate in it. And it's funny. So my husband and I have been together going on 18 years. We've been married 13, but until we moved here, we were basically in survival mode. We were at the first, what is that, 12 years of our relationship, we were just in survival, like just trying to make things happen, right?
Right.
I wasn't ready. We weren't ready to have kids. He's 2 years younger than me. So I'm graduating law school at 25. He's 23. He's across the country, still going to school. He moves to California and he's an aerospace engineer, which is sounds fantastical, except for the jobs are super limited because you have to find a company that needs aerospace engineering. So where we can move was limited, and living in LA was super expensive. So we were like just living paycheck to paycheck and barely getting by.
Right. And I can imagine.
And then dealing with, you know, some family issues. It was just like, it was awful. And then we moved here and initially we're like, oh, this is great. For us, it was like a pay bump. So, because he got paid the same, but the cost of living is a little less here. So and the gas especially. So he didn't have to drive as far or whatever. And, here we go ready to take on moving to West Palm, and I'm 8 months pregnant at the time. We never thought, and things, people just don't talk about these things. So I right. never even thought about my insurance not covering everything. Right. So in California, we paid $500 a kid, like everything, like co-pays were covered. All your appointments are covered, and you basically pay $500 when you go to the hospital to give birth. That's it.
Right. Right.
It's all we paid here. Everything was out of pocket, and because our deductible was so high, our deductible was $5,000 a person. It would ended up being $10,000 for me and my daughter out of pocket cash. And we were insured. And I'm like, how does this happen? So of course we didn't plan for that. So we're trying to figure out where to put, how to pay these medical bills, and you know, everything else gets pushed to the side because, you know, having that extra debt just wasn't helpful. So I just say that I understand living in, I say all that. Living in survival mode. And then when I finally settled down, which is kind of where this podcast came from, was kind of reassessing the life and figuring out what do I actually want? Because I've lived in survival for so long. I don't even know what I want anymore. I didn't even know what I like. I still don't even know. I'm still trying to figure that out. What I like, what I want, what direction I want to go in. And, because you talk about survival mode, I'd love for you to talk more about it.
Right. First, it's a process. It's definitely a process. But basically, the first thing you mentioned was that you and your husband were in survival mode. And one of the examples of survival mode is being more reactionary instead of proactive. Yep. So you all were just waiting for something to happen and you would just react to it instead of being proactive, instead of, you know, having, you know, aligning everything. You thought you had everything in order and you thought everything was fine. But then you found yourself constantly just being reactionary, waiting for something to happen, and then you respond. And when we get to the mindset of being in survival mode, and I just recently got out of a situation of survival mode, I can recognize it when it's coming. I recognize when it's on its way. And one of the things about survival mode is that you're constantly anticipating problems.
Yes.
But if you're in a strategic mode, you're thinking about opportunities. So that's one way to realize and understand where you are in the process. Am I in a situation where I'm operating in constant survival mode? Because again, survival mode means that I am just waiting for the ball to drop. I am waiting for the crap to hit the fan. And then I have to do what? I have to react to it. Yeah. But instead, if I was thinking strategically, understanding that things will change, things will alter, I can be more proactive in my response. I can prepare my children. I can prepare my husband. We can prepare for these things. We can get ourselves ready for this. But survival mode, what it does is it doesn't allow you to get there. Yeah. Survival mode doesn't allow you to plan, and neither does it allow you to progress.
Right.
And so if we're planners and we're always thinking about the next step, can you imagine being in survival mode? It takes you out of your element quickly. And so what I decided was just to take a look at, you know, the shift. What does it take to take a shift from being in survival mode to being in more of a strategic way of thinking, to be more of a strategic way of thinking?
Before we get that deep, can we back up just a touch and let people know, how do you even recognize you're in survival mode?
Oh, yes.
Before you even shift to getting out of it, how do you recognize that season's happening?
Right. So survival mode, it says when you're looking at yourself, just do a quick little inventory. If you find yourself in a place of struggle, you find yourself in a place where a lot of things are confused, or you just can't make sense of what's happening, you're possibly in survival mode. Okay. And, or you're in a situation or an environment that doesn't speak to you. You're pretty much out of your element. So like for me, I come up with a lot of ideas, so I'm very creative. I can come up with ideas. If I find myself completely stunted, where I cannot come up with one idea, one concept, solve a problem, I begin to look at what's going on around me because I'm possibly in survival mode. It is stunning who I am as an individual. It's stopping my creativity. It's not allowing me to make sense of what's going on around me. And then all I wait, I sit and I wait and I anticipate what's about to happen. You're constantly anticipating that. That's how you know you're in survival mode. When you just can't make sense of what's happening around you. When it's really not speaking to who you are as an individual. And that could be an environment or it could be a person. You could be around a person that shifts you into survival mode. Like, how do you change who you are when this person comes around? Before that person walks in the room, you're probably excited and you find yourself, you know, just engaging situations and just having a lot of fun, living life and just having a good time. As soon as that person finds themselves in your presence, you find yourself feeling pressed down. You find yourself feeling like you're struggling. You can't come up with an idea. One thing too is you're just making mistakes. You make mistakes. You're like, why did I just make that mistake? What just happened here? You find yourself making just simple mistakes, things that you know, things that come easy for you, but this person is taking you out of an element. And that's how you know you're in survival mode. Another thing is looking at what it does to your body. I have, and one of the steps is about recognizing our gauges that we have, our internal and external gauges. And I have internal gauges that tell me when I'm in survival mode. I get a tension down the side of my neck, and I cannot turn to the left, I can't turn to the right, and it is debilitating. It is debilitating. And that's when I know something is wrong. And people say, oh, that's just stress, or you just may need to stretch. But no, to me, it's a gauge. It's a gauge because survival mode is, it awakens stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. It awakens those things in you. And therefore, you find yourself, like I said, being more reactionary opposed to being proactive. So those are ways to understand that you're in survival mode because of what it can do to you physically, as well as emotionally, as well as how it takes you out of your element. It takes you away from who you really are.
I recognize all three of those things still going on right now. So I'm just like, oh, okay. So I'm still operating. But, you know, interestingly enough, I went to dinner with a friend and she said some words to me, that really resonated with me that I think is helping me snap out of survival mode. Things that I just, you know, again, recognizing it, recognizing, right. I mean, until you said that, I never thought it was survival mode, but now that I put all this together and it seems, when you talk about divinely led, you know, I really feel like there are certain things that just come together and, right. So when certain messages come to me, I end up getting them from multiple places and they all hit. So I look and I'm like, I think it's time to stop operating in survival mode.
Yeah, you can. You honestly can. It just takes, I think we talked earlier about being adults and just making those decisions. I feel like being indecisive is an enemy to who we are as individuals when we can't make decisions for ourselves. That is like a number one enemy. And we have to learn to just make decisions. And guess what? Making those decisions may not feel good at the time, but later on, you'll step back. And see, like I said, I just left a very lucrative opportunity. I just walked away from a lucrative opportunity. It didn't feel good thinking about doing it. But when I did it, I saw where the light bulb just came on and I started to become a little bit more creative and I started to get back to who I was as an individual. But I still thought about missing out on that income. I still thought about missing out on that money. But then I thought about it. I say, wow, the same investment you just gave to this project, you could turn around and give it to your own project. So I became excited about the opportunities. Remember, I say strategic mindset, a strategic mode, you think opportunities.
Right.
Survival mode, you think problems and issues. So I just begin to just shift my way of thinking and processing.
Okay, so now let's go back to how you start to alter out of survival mode and get back to yourself.
Exactly. The first step is to take a step back. That's the first step. And I basically look at that as being more of an ask and answer type segment that you take yourself through. Just start asking yourself a series of questions. One question is, how did you get here? How did I get here? Or what was going on or not going on in my life that led me to this point? You want to start asking and answering these questions. You want to put yourself in a place where you start taking inventory. So you take a step back and you begin to look at what's in front of you. You know, and when I say what's in front of you, you're looking at that situation. Right. How did I get here? Mm-hmm. How did I get into survival mode? And you begin, like I said, you ask and then you answer. Here's another question. What were your expectations? Okay. What were your expectations when you stepped into that role? What things were you or are you ignoring or tolerating? Because one of the things that we do is we begin to start ignoring what's really going on. So again, what things are you ignoring? Are you ignoring something that's happening every day? And when it happens, it just places you in just an uncomfortable place. Mm-hmm. Are you tolerating some things from people or individuals or situations that just don't really speak to you as an individual? And I'll mention it later, but I just had a job where I just tolerated the politics. Yeah. I tolerated the politics and it was wearing on me as an individual. I found myself getting off the interstate and heading to the hospital, and they kept me in the hospital for 2 days because I had tolerated the politics and I knew it spoke against everything who I was. Mm. And so we have to get to a place that we find out what things am I tolerating that don't speak to who I am as an individual. And then here's the other one is, would this be an option if you had other options?
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah. Would this be an option if you had other options? Because a lot of us are stuck in these survival situations, in this survival mindset, because we feel like we don't have any options. We feel like we don't have any way out. And you always have options. Mm-hmm. You always have options, but some options may require a little bit more sacrifice, but you always have options. And just a quick story. I just asked that question to a friend of mine last night. You know, I was like, she has started like the online dating. And that's well within her right, and she's enjoying it as long as she keeps it as entertainment. I said, it's entertainment, just, you know, and have fun. But the guy that she was interacting with, he basically just kind of pushed her aside. You know, they talked for a few minutes, then he pushed her aside. And she started feeling some kind of way about it. And I'm listening to her say this, and I took her back to our first conversation when she first interacted with this individual. She said that he was not her type. She wasn't sure how far it was going to go.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I reminded her that she said that. Mm-hmm. But when he flipped the script on her and he started pushing back and she really wasn't his type, she couldn't handle it. And I said to her, would he have been an option if you had other options? And it was a resounding no. No, he would not have been an option. So why are you taking this to heart then?
Yeah.
Why are you taking this to heart? You have options. Go back and look at the options that you have. You are out of your element now. Get back in your element. And in her mindset, you know, when you're meeting someone or you're single and at our age, you know, honestly, I enjoy single life like you wouldn't imagine. But I love every minute of it. But you find a lot of people who are really, you know, they feel like this is it. Yeah, I gotta have somebody. And that's pretty much where she is, where she was with that. But guess what? Now she's in a better place because she realized she literally limited her options. And she does have other options.
Well, it's funny because on some respects I do that. So I had kind of like the mini interview from a recruiter right before this phone call, possibly going back to work. But I knew exactly what I wanted. If I'm going to go back to a job and, you know, get paid, there are certain things that I need for that. And if I don't get that, then that's not the direction I need to go, because it's going to just be more stress for me. Then, and it's not going to be beneficial for anyone in the house, because I've been there. I've done it.
Right. Yes. that is perfect, April. That is perfect. Yes. Live there. Live right there. That is a good place to be. Knowing what you want and not afraid to ask for it, and not afraid to say no.
No. You know? And then when they said you're not the right fit, I was like, okay. And I just said, if there's anything else that comes up and that you think I would be a better fit for, let me know.
Give me a call.
And I felt nothing for it. Like, I didn't feel like any pulls or, you know, heartstrings of, oh my gosh, but this is a job opportunity. I could lie to make sure, you know, because you know how you could caress and make the job fit a little better. But I was like, it's not going to be the right fit.
Right.
Neither one of us is going to be happy at the end of the day. So this is just not the right opportunity for me.
Yeah.
And
that's good. A lot of us don't know what we want. Yeah. But when you know, when you figure it out, then I say, write it down, you know, so you can remember. You can remember that this is what you want, and this is something that you're not going to compromise, because you're right. You were just getting ready to rip your whole family apart from the stress of walking into this job every day. You're stressing them out. They're stressing you out. It's not where you want to be. I always say, wait it out if you can, to find that one area that speaks directly to you, that speaks to who you are, because that's when you're your best person. That's when you're the best you. That's when you become the best you, when you find yourself in your element, in your zone.
So, I mean, that was the thing. It was, but for some reason it's like weird, because I can do it for that. Like when someone's presenting me like certain job offers, but then there's other places I can't. But I like that question of if there were any other opportunities, would this be on the table? Because I think that clears up a lot.
Yes, it does.
That have been lingering along the outside, other opportunities that I kind of, you know, I'm diving into here and diving into there, some freelance work. And some I really like, and some I kind of don't. And I've been playing with it, you know, making the decision. And I've been playing with the decision. I haven't made the decision.
Right.
I'm like, that question really brings in to light a lot of the opposite of confusion. What is it? Can't think of it. Oh.
Clarity.
That's the word I'm thinking.
Clarity.
It brings a lot of clarity, because I'm like, no, I probably wouldn't do this if there were other opportunities. I mean, I'm good at it, but not really anything that I get excited for. And I just feel at this point that if I'm going to get something, I want to enjoy it.
Right. And here's goes back to the show. That's the other side of 40. That's the other side of 40. We know what it is that we want.
Yeah.
But a lot of us have compromised that. And we have put it on the back burner just to meet some need that could probably go unmet for a little longer if we just made a few little sacrifices.
Yeah.
It's all to it. Just a few little sacrifices. You know, so that's the taking a step back is the first step. The next one is challenging yourself with the truth. Now, I tell people all the time, one of the things that in order to move from survival mode into strategic mode is really about the truth. What is the truth of the matter? And I tell people all the time, one thing I will not do is lie to myself. I will not lie to myself. I tell me the truth about everything. If I know I look a certain type of way standing in that mirror, I just say to myself, this is really how you look, Tessie. So put that dress back in the closet and try some pants. You know, I just tell myself the truth. I don't stand there and stare at myself for 50 minutes trying to figure out how to make this look any differently. I know what I'm seeing when I'm looking in the mirror. I tell myself the truth. There's no one know me better than myself. And in order to move from a place of survival, you have to be truthful about that situation or about that individual. You have to be truthful about what's happening around you. And it does not mean that you have to blurt it out, but you're just being truthful to yourself because it starts inside. Right. It starts inside like, wow, I took this opportunity and I regret it. I hate waking up every day and people might say to you, but you're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
I understand. Yes, I'm making a lot of money, but I never should have took this opportunity. I never should have stepped in. And here's the other thing. I took it because I was fearful.
Yeah.
I was scared. That's why I took this up.
Mm-hmm. There's something, there's some security and safety in that paycheck.
Right. Right.
Like, I have a place to go. I know they're going to pay me as long as I show up and I do the work.
Yes.
And I just have to do that. Even right. if it eats at your soul that you don't want to do it. You don't right. like the people. You don't particularly even like the work, but you can do mm-hmm. it.
Right. And right.
to step away from that means that you're going to have to rely on yourself or something else.
Right.
An opportunity that's out there that you haven't been presented with.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly.
knowing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't like not knowing.
No.
We don't like not knowing. But again, we have to pay attention to what's happening around us and we have to be truthful about it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Tell yourself the truth. I am in this job for the check.
Yeah.
I am in this situation for the check. Or I am in this situation because I am just too afraid yeah. to walk away. Or I really don't know what it is that I want to do. I don't have any answers. You know, we have to just be truthful with ourselves instead of, what is it, projecting or reflecting or putting it off on someone else. I don't know if I'm saying the right word, but we just have this way of making it about someone else. Well, if it wasn't for my children, I wouldn't have to take this job. If it wasn't for my husband standing over me wondering when I'm going to bring a check in, I wouldn't be stuck in this, you know, this job that I hate. We just put it off on someone else when you just take it full, bring it back, bring it home and start with yourself. Be truthful with yourself. Because I said, truth is about embracing. Embracing is about acceptance and acceptance is about adequacy. So when you're truthful with yourself, you begin to embrace who you are as an individual. And when you embrace yourself, you begin to accept yourself. And every time you accept yourself, you will know that you're more than enough. That you're adequate. And what I mean by that is you don't have to settle. You just may need to sacrifice a little. And I can't put that word out enough. You have to learn to sacrifice a little in order to have that thing that speaks to who you are. I said the greatest, the greatest horror in life is an individual who does not live to their fullest capacity, to their fullest ability. And that's because we spend so many years doing other people things and following other people's missions and other people's visions, totally ignoring that we were given one of our own. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have your own business. It just means that in whatever environment that you're in, you're being your true self and you're not making any apologies for it. So we have to learn to be truthful with ourselves. So we take a step back by asking ourselves questions and then we take a step forward by challenging ourselves with the truth.
So you said something that resonated with me on one hand. On the other hand, I could hear someone asking, what if you already feel like you're sacrificing and you're asking us to sacrifice more to fulfill the dream or have that satisfaction? Is that what you're asking us to do more?
Right, right. So when we look at sacrifices, we feel like when we think about sacrifice, and I understand what you're saying with that question, it's from the aspect of I am sacrificing what I want in order to give somebody else what they want.
Yes.
That's how we think when we think sacrifice. I'm not asking you to do that type of sacrifice. I'm telling you right now to be a little selfish and think about you now. What do you need to sacrifice in order, and you said it, to live out that vision? to live out that dream of yours? What do you need to sacrifice? Not that you have to, it could be, one example was a young lady who, and I love her story of sacrifice, and I'll tell it real quickly. She told her husband, I want to start my own job. I want to start my own business. I want to branch out on my own. I want to be out here and I want to, whatever her business was. Mm-hmm. He told her, he said, well, the first thing you have to do is prove that we can live off my income alone for 1 year. You have to prove that we can live off my income for 1 year. Now, she took inventory. She looked in her closet. She saw all the Louis Vuittons and all the red bottom shoes and all of the Dooney Bergs and everything you could think of, Michael Kors. She looked at her kids and she saw how well-dressed and how they were involved in so many activities. Like they were on this basketball team and then this traveling basketball team. And they were doing so much. And she was driving the best car, that her dream car. She was in her dream car. They were living in their dream home. She knew her income had a lot to do with where they were financially.
Right.
But she knew in her heart she wanted to start her own business. Going to work every day was literally, it was just like walking into a gas chamber. She hated being in that situation. So her husband, instead of saying no, he just says, let's take this for a year. So he gave her a year that she had to prove. So she started doing what? She started selling a lot of her stuff online. She didn't need that many Louis Vuitton bags. So she started selling things online. She told her kids that they had to take one team, and that was the team they was going to be on for the year. She sacrificed. They ate in. They had more family events to go on inside of the home instead of outside or traveling. They went on one trip instead of three trips a year. Mm-hmm. She made some sacrifices in order to be able to live her vision, to live her dream. At the 1 year mark, before she could say anything to her husband, because he was watching.
Right.
At the 1 year mark, he walked in and said, go ahead and give them your notice. Because they lived off his income alone. She saved her income for that entire year, which was the seed money in order to build her business.
That's
and
beautiful.
She has, yeah. And she has never gone back to work for anyone else ever again. Because she knew she had to make personal sacrifices in order to be able to live that dream that she wants. So when I say sacrifice, I just mean, you know, for you, what do you need to do? What do you need to give up? Like, no one would imagine. She did say one of the things, she gave up a car, her dream car, and they went to one car. And so that was an ultimate sacrifice. But guess what? It was when she looked at her bank account and saw that she was able to bank.
Yeah.
And so, again, you know, I understand we do sacrifice a lot, but we sacrifice for other people. I'm asking you to sacrifice for yourself in order to be able to do what you need to do.
All right. So we've gone through sacrificing. What's the next step?
Right. So the next one is take inventory. And we talked about this earlier, of your emotional as well as your physical gauges. And I talked about how I have this pain that goes down the side of my neck. And people are like, oh, that's stress. But why am I stressed? I have to pay attention to that. We have to pay attention to what's happening in our bodies and in our psyche. If you're walking in a house every day and you're just frustrated with your family for no reason, they're just sitting there. They always sit there. But you're just so worked up. You have to figure out, what did I just leave that would cause me to be so frustrated when I walk in the house? Or
just sit there.
Yeah, they're just sitting there. And they're like, Mom, we always sit here. But something happened on the outside. You were probably in a survival mode. You were probably in survival mode before you walked through the door, and you can't make the shift because it's messing with you emotionally as well as physically. And I saw where it was messing with me physically. And I told the story that one job, I could not play the politics. I didn't know how, and I didn't want to. And they wanted me to, and they were at me, and I had to follow and, you know, go against the procedures and do it the way they wanted me to do it. And I found myself getting off the interstate, heading to the hospital. They kept me for 2 days with stroke-like symptoms.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? It was wearing on my every being, who I was. And so I had to pay attention to that. And I asked people in this process, pay attention to what's happening to your body. Pay attention to your psyche. Pay attention to everything that's happening to you that is out of the norm. You are your biggest ambassador. No one can speak on behalf of you better than you can. So you know when something is not right with you. And it could be because something is not going on okay around you.
Yeah.
And you need to pay attention to that. Producing the hormones, I talked about cortisol and adrenaline, that when you're in a stressful situation, producing those hormones is fine for a certain period of time. You know, for if a dog is chasing you and you need to run and you need to respond, but not all the time. You shouldn't always be in a fight, flight, what is it, fight, flight, or freeze mode all the time.
Yeah.
And I found myself in situations where I was in that mode all the time. And it was wearing on who I was. You gain weight, especially in your stomach area. You have digestive issues. You have heart issues. You have all of these issues. And I'm not saying it's always being in survival mode or it's stress all the time, but think about it. When you're around your loved ones and your family, you feel okay. But the minute you step back into that environment around that individual, things just go crazy. I'm telling you, it's nothing else but stress. It's nothing else but operating in survival mode.
Oh no, there's a couple of situations that I stepped away from because of that same, you know, and that's the thing. It wasn't like my relationship with my spouse. It was extra things that I was doing. And I ended up stepping away with the anticipation of resuming. And then I realized how stress-free I was.
Right.
It was, the load was lighter. And it wasn't just the work, because I enjoyed the work so much.
Right.
It was going there. It was the people. It was just a lot of politics. And that's just not fun. I don't like playing politics. I like being honest with people. I like being open and upfront. I like, you know, I personally just like telling people to their face, like how I feel. And I don't have any problem with them doing the same to me.
Exactly.
I don't like people going to talk to a third party. And then it's coming to me as a, you know, well, you should fix this and you should fix this. And I'm like, well, they're that bold to say it. Why don't they just tell me? Because I was in the same room with these people. So it's not like I never came across them, but so you just said it when I was standing there, but you didn't say it when I was standing there. You waited till I left.
Right. And I tell you, I think it was Maya Angelou who says, when people show you who they are, believe them. Yeah. But we tend to want to project or put things on people that they're not even trying to live up to. So once you see who a person is, you accept that. You accept it for who it is. And I have a sign that I keep in front of my computer, and it says, it's me. It's me. That's what it says. So when I get in a situation that I don't understand how people are responding or why they're doing what they're doing or why they reacted to me that way, I just turn around and say, that's you who don't understand what they're doing. Learn, figure it out. Yeah. It's me. Everything starts with us. Everything. And just like taking care of your mental capacity, taking care of your physical capacity, this is the only body we have.
Yeah.
And yet we will allow persons who don't have any right to it, we will allow those individuals to just step in and just wreak havoc on us.
Yeah.
And then we wreak havoc on our families and havoc on our loved ones, havoc on our vision and our dreams because of an individual or a situation. It's time to change it.
Yeah.
It's time to change it. And that takes us to the step four, which is it's time to make a huge investment or a decision.
Okay.
It's time to make a huge investment or a decision. When you've taken a step back, when you have been honest and truthful about what is really going on, when you know that it's affecting your very nature, who you are, it's time for you to make a decision.
Yeah.
It's time for you to make a huge investment. And for some people, that's hard to do because I told you indecisiveness is an enemy to leaders. It's that when you can't make a decision, then that's a problem. So in a situation that I was in, I just made the decision. I decided I was just going to pay my car off. I had a few more months left on my car. I said, you know what? I'm going to dig in my savings and I'm going to pay my car off. Now, I wanted to keep building my credit up, but I knew I had made a decision. I said, it's time to go. It's time to go. You can sit here and allow this to kill you and break you down and destroy the very existence of who you are, or you can make a decision. So I paid my car off and then I gave them a 2 weeks notice.
Nice.
Gave me 2 weeks notice. It's like, and guess what? No turning back. Because when you make those decisions, you can't turn back. Once you make that decision, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Let me get this letter back. I didn't really mean to give that to you. You know,
I didn't mean in like 2 weeks. I meant
right. And so we have to get to the point like we're going to make a decision or we're going to make a huge investment where we cannot turn back from it. We have to stick with it. And come hell or high water, we have to stick with this decision, because at that point, when I turned in my 2 weeks, I told you it was like the floodgates open up. Because,
oh no,
I'm looking at it like, wow, what is happening? It was like my eyes back to see again.
Oh goodness, okay, go back into the floodgates opened.
Yeah. The floodgates opened. I was totally stunned. I have my own business, but I was working on a project for another company, and I had been working with them for 10 months. It was a constant roller coaster ride, helping this project get off the ground. But we were making amazing strides. But when the survival mode kicked in, when the atmosphere began to change, that it became detrimental to my health and to my mental capacity, I was like, wow, I need to make a decision. And so the decision was, again, pay a big bill off, get it out of the way, because you're about to make a decision. Then give your 2 weeks. And when I gave my 2 weeks, everything opened up. I now had ideas for my own business. It was just, like I said, the floodgates just opened. I was being creative. I started feeling like I could float. I started writing again. I had spent 2.5 months not even posting on social media because I was so bound by that being in that surviving in that survival type mode. And I was so bound by that I couldn't even be creative. And I told you I'm a person that's very creative. I can come up with something on a whim. Just give it to me, Tessie, or bring out something great. But I couldn't do that. I had no capacity to do that because of the mode that I was in. I was always anticipating the next problem, the next thing that I had to respond to. But when I let it go, it was like the floodgates just opened up. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. And I haven't looked back. I have not looked back. It has been an eye opener for me. And what I told myself, and that goes to the last step, and we'll move to the last one. Make yourself a promise. Make yourself a promise. We make promises every day to people. We promise our kids we're going to do this. We promise our hubbies we're going to do that. We promise our coworkers we're going to show up and be there for them. We make promises to everyone and we do our very best to fulfill that promise. But yet we totally leave ourselves out. We don't make ourselves promises. And if we do, we really work as hard to keep that promise to ourselves as we do to other people. Mm-hmm. I made a promise to myself in December of 2019. It was right before my summit, that I was going to never feel like an employee again, even if I was an employee, but I would never feel like an employee again. I made that promise to myself. Very soon after making that promise, I found myself in another situation. I was immediately pulled back in to an employee's role. But it was allowing me to be creative. It was allowing me to, you know, come up with ideas. I was having a great time with it, but then it changed. And then I reminded myself, like, you promised yourself that you would never feel like an employee again. And now you are one and you feel like it. You're feeling like you're not a contributor, like you're not an investor, like you're not someone who's making things happen. You're just feeling like you're just there to fulfill a job and get a check and get out the door. At this stage in our lives, none of us should be in that role, not in that rut. None of us should be on that path. We should be on a path of making things happen for ourselves, for our families, for those that we work for, or those that we work with. And so I went back to that promise that I made myself to never feel like an employee ever again. And again, I know me, so I know what I'm feeling. You can't say, well, I didn't treat you like that. No, you can't tell me how I'm feeling.
Right.
I'm telling you how I'm feeling. Get out my feelings. You don't ever let anybody tell you how you're feeling. You know how you're feeling. You know, because they're telling you, because they're trying to justify themselves for something they did or didn't do.
Yeah.
So it's important to make a promise to yourself and do everything you can to keep that promise to yourself. If you're making a promise to yourself that it's okay to work for someone, but I won't make them, but I won't compromise this or I won't compromise that, then stick with that, even if it costs you something in the long run. Yeah. Stick with it no matter what. You're not in this journey alone. Right. You're in it. You have support. And even if you don't, you still have yourself. And you have a higher calling. You have a higher calling. It's a higher person who called you there. And so we have to get to a place that we realize that there's so much more to us. And until we start making decisions about our lives, we'll never get there. We'll never get there until we learn to make decisions for ourselves and be okay with it. We'll never get to that point.
Ooh, yeah. That touched me.
Yeah.
Like for real, like really, like that speaks to where I am right now. So I really appreciate that. I have a lot to think about, a lot to do to get out of the survival mode, you know? Yes. Because it sounds like it's work.
It's a process. Don't look at it as work. It's just process. A process.
It's right? A process.
And always start with the truth.
Yeah.
Always start with the truth. And just, it's okay. Accept the truth for what it is. Yeah. You know, because it's just like if I had a jacked up husband or a jacked up man, you know, I'm like, you know what? You're really jacked up, honey. And I love you. You know, I just have to be truthful about it.
Yeah, yeah. I love you. I mean,
right.
So we can do things differently, but I love you still.
But I love you still. I do love you. And so that's important. You know, just be truthful with yourself. It's a process. Some people can get out quicker than others. But my key here, my goal here is that you recognize it. Recognize that you are in it. And when you recognize that you're in it, do everything you can to get out of it. And that's why I came up with this concept. I'm going to do this as a workshop to take it a little deeper.
Okay.
And I'll do this as a workshop on December 10th. And it is just to take this a little deeper to get people to work themselves. First, identify that you're in it and then be able to work yourself through the process. I can't tell you how quickly to get out of it. Right. It took me a little time to get out of it. Every time that I've been in it, it was a process, but I made it out. So will you.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, people can talk to you and tell you something, but you don't really hear it until the time to hear it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like even in this process of recording the show, I get the tidbits when I need them personally.
Right.
I know I'm doing this for other people, but I'm also doing this for myself.
Yes.
And I seem to get the tidbits as I need them along my journey. And I really hope that whoever's listening is getting something out of it as well. But thank you so much. Do you have anything else to add?
No, just, I just wanted to add that definitely I'm taking this workshop, this concept, I'm taking it a step further by doing a workshop on December 10th. You can register through Eventbrite. It's going to be via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And just to take it another step further, because I need persons to start doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, it starts with doing the work, knowing what the work, what it takes. It's not just like we talked about sacrifice. It's more to it than just making a sacrifice. but also following through and doing the work. So I'm excited to do that. And I thank you so much for this opportunity. It was a lot of fun. And I'm you're very engaging, April. I appreciate all the comments. And I'm the same way, the way you are. You pull what you need to pull from every segment and from every talk. You're pulling something to help you get to a better place. Mm. And I'm telling you, you're going to get there. But the first step is recognizing that you are there.
Yeah.
And do you do that? Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I'm just thinking about all the things going on and how many of them are just there because I'm in survival. That's the only way I've been entertaining them. Mm-hmm. Where can we find you?
Right. So I have a website, which is theleadershiphaven.com, and I would love for you to go on there. We're a resource center. So everything on our website is just to give you additional information about how to go to the next level, how to move from this place to that place, how to release the restraints off your leadership and your business potential. So I have a website. You can visit our website. Also, we're on Instagram, The Leadership Haven. We have a Facebook group that we're very busy in doing a lot of different things, which is the Leadership Haven Enrichment Academy for Leaders, L Heal, because I strongly believe that when leaders heal, we all heal. So I would love for you to join that group. And we also have a business page, the Leadership Haven Resource Center with leadership strategist Tessie Watts. So that's our Facebook page as well. So we're on all the social media handles. I'm not as active on Twitter, but I am on Twitter at the Leadership Haven. But again, we are on all the social medias, but I would encourage everyone to go to our website and also read about the 2020 Reignite Florida Leadership Summit. And so that's coming up on December 10th through the 12th, and we have some amazing things that'll be coming up. It'll be via online, so it's free for everyone to attend. And so we're going to have a great time with that as well. So that's coming up December 10th through the 12th, the Reignite Florida Leadership Summit.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of The Other Side of 40. You can find us at our site, theothersideof40.com, and on Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Other Side 40.